Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the call. We're in February. It's almost hard to believe that we're in the second month of this calendar year. How exciting. We welcome all of you who are joining us. We'll have a plan over the next month or next moment or two. While we're having everyone join us, is there anyone that would like to make a comment or ask a question to make sure that we cover a topic tonight? Any comments or thoughts? This is your moment. If you've been hanging on to something all week and you're saying, gosh, I just hope he covers it, you want to make sure you ask. So please share now. Okay, well, let's jump right in. In terms of how we handle this call, first of all, welcome to anyone who's joining us for the first time. We have a number of new people on the call tonight, and thank you for being with us. We meet every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. This call is recorded and should be up on your group coaching segment of your My Tools and the Intentional Creation website within the next 24 hours. So you should see it up there. And we're so excited to have you on the call with us. Now, in terms of etiquette for the call, we just ask everyone to press star 6. That will mute out all of the background noise without me having to mute the call. And then if you have a question or a comment, you can just press star 6 and say, Dave. And if I don't acknowledge you, it's because I can't hear you. So just say, Dave, until I acknowledge you, and then ask your question. And don't hesitate to interrupt me. If there's something that just comes to you, and it's the moment when you finally have the courage to ask, or it's just something that's just overpowering you, don't hesitate to interrupt. This call is for you. I have a couple of things I want to discuss tonight that I'm hoping will be beneficial for you. But if there is something else that we need to discuss, we can shift and discuss those items. So this call is to serve you, and it is each Tuesday night. I had a very interesting experience this last week. Hi, John.
Hi.
I had the opportunity to go over to a dear friend's house Saturday night and get the full report on his trip. The previous Saturday night, he had returned home. We talked briefly midweek, but the Saturday before that, he called me in the afternoon and said, Dave, I'm leaving for Haiti. I got to go. Well, this gentleman, Jeremy Wardle, had adopted two children from Haiti. I've probably mentioned him on a couple of calls as he was there. Adopted two children in Haiti from Haiti prior to the earthquake, and had a third adoption in the process, which had been completed with the visa, passport, everything signed off the Monday prior to the earthquake. So imagine the excitement in his home. We have been following this for the last 2 years that we've lived in the neighborhood, and trying to get this to finally come together with just one after the other roadblocks that were put in their way, because the adoption was completed 2 years ago. This has been a process for 4. And just needles and pins week after week, and finally got the word. Everything's done. That Monday afternoon, they had made all of the preparations to have Gabrielle brought to the United States the following Tuesday. Then that next day, at 5 o'clock, there was this horrific earthquake in Haiti. They were able to contact the aunties, the ladies who take care of the children at the orphanage, and they confirmed that Gabrielle was safe, but in tears they said, if we don't make it, please save the children. Well, they were able to touch base with them a couple of times that week by satellite phone, and toward the end of the week it became painfully clear that food was not on its way. Shipments were not coming in from anywhere, which they need on a regular basis to feed all of these children anyway. And with all of the devastation, there was nothing coming in. Children were beginning to starve. Some 90 small infants, just tremendous need. And Jeremy said, I got to go. So Saturday night, we all rounded up what we could to assist him in that process. And he got on a plane and flew to the Dominican Republic, Santo Domingo, I think it's called, or to that city, the main city there at the airport, not knowing how he was going to do it, but he was going to go into Haiti and save his daughter. He shared that he got to the hotel where he had planned planned on meeting a person, and that person was not there, and miraculously he ran into a group of people that happened to be from Utah, who just felt impressed to come. And I want to tell you about this person and his team, because there are many of you on the phone who have aspirations, desires, dreams to build something significant. And sometimes we think about building things significant so that we can have bigger homes and nicer cars and better lifestyles. And there's nothing wrong with living nice. This gentleman does live very nice. But this gentleman responds to emergencies when they occur. That's his life mission. He had a chopper pilot fly his helicopter from St. George, Utah to Haiti, while he flew his Citation jet to Miami, then over to the Dominican Republic. They all met there. While he was in Miami, out of his own pocket, he bought two helicopters. Now just imagine being this kind of a person, to be able to buy two helicopters, fly them to the Dominican Republic, put them on the border, station a border, on the border. He rented from the local governor a soccer field with lights and hired guards, protected, you know, wearing their Kevlar vests and their guns to protect them, helicopters in the middle of the field, if you can imagine this visual. And Jeremy meets this team that's coming into this area, and they offer to give him a ride. He wasn't going to go, but he felt impressed that he should. And when he got there, they made his mission their mission. Within a day, they had all kinds of baby formula loaded into a helicopter, doctor, nurse, pilot, and Jeremy, searching for this orphanage that was up on the mountain 10 miles from the epicenter. There's no address, no coordinates, just a picture that they got off of Google Maps. They were able to, this is what we're looking for. They had this air flight nurse who was able to spot the village, and that's it. And as they began to come down, all these aunties came out, and they were raising their hands and praising, and some were falling to their knees and just weeping. And this wasn't, this was seriousness. There were children. One had died already. And they landed and began to feed the children. They had been cooking rice, which isn't, you can't feed to an infant, but they'd been cooking rice by chopping branches off the trees because they'd run out of charcoal, which is what they cook with. Primarily. Well, they came with the charcoal, the baby formula, and they began to feed the children. And each day, Jeremy Johnson's group brought another load of food to this orphanage until they had what they needed. Well, Jeremy was there for 3 days, and he said, "Dave, the ground was moving underneath us." There was one aftershock that just scared him to death. He said, "You could hear the earth roar." the fear, and he ran in to get Gabrielle in her room. She happened to be in a building that had been designed by American engineers and built by Americans, and it was helped withstood the earthquake. But he went and got her out anyway. And he said there was one. She only had one possession. It was a picture of Jeremy and Holly, Jeremy's wife, with Gabrielle in the middle, framed in a frame that said, "With God, everything is possible."
Absolutely.
And he grabbed that and grabbed her and took her out of the building into safety. And the children from that point forward, many of them are outside already, but they all slept outside. As the week moved on, he was getting a little impatient. But Gina was working, who owned the orphanage, was working downtown to get visas and everything for the U.S. Embassy, which had also collapsed. And she finally got it, came back to the orphanage and said, I have her visa. I have her passport. You're going to be able to take her home now. But it's with this condition. You need to take 27 with you. 27. That was a deal I had to make. Can you do that?" And he said, "We'll figure it out." So he calls Holly. They're making all kinds of arrangements. They needed a $27,000 donation to pay for the jet, another jet big enough for all these people, to fly from Miami. They arranged for, miraculously, a 30-minute window at Port-au-Prince Airport. That's all they got. Land, pick up the cargo, and leave. That's all they could do. Well, as they're getting closer to the deadline to be at the airport, the helicopters hadn't arrived yet. When they finally got there, they had to take the back seats out so there'd be room. And these three helicopters, they loaded 31 people on little kids on mattresses, took them to the airport, landed where they were told to, the U.S. Army dock, that ramp. And all these Army guys came in and grabbed a child and a bottle and was feeding children. He said it was just a wonderful sight. Soledad from CNN was interviewing him, and they're having this discussion. And Holly is trying to text him, and she can't get through. She can't get the phone to go through. And finally, she's down on her knees pleading with God for this call to go through because it was so intermittent. She finally got through and said, "Where are you? The jet has landed. Where are you?" And he said, "Well, right where we're supposed to be." "Where is it?" She said, "It's down at the UN ramp." So they hijacked a UN bus, and they're driving these children in between the tents from the Chinese and the Swedish and the Russians and trying to get down, and all of a sudden they see the jet taxiing to take off. And Jeremy's screaming to Soledad to call. They have to know somebody in the tower to stop the jet from taking off, and the airspace is really restricted. And the jets get ready to taxi, and all of a sudden it pulled off the side of the runway. And they just drove right over to the jet, dropped its door, they loaded the cargo, these precious 27 human beings, and it took off on its way to Miami. On the way, Jeremy asked the pilot, "What made you stop?" And he said, "I came here for 27 kids, and I wasn't going to leave till I had them, so I called the tower and told them I was out of fuel." It was just one miracle after another. Those children are now all home. When we went Saturday, we brought the pizza and the cookies and the soda pop, and we just had a wonderful time with Jeremy's two natural children. They're three adopted children, plus the fourth one now from Haiti. And Gina's daughter and her two children and Gina's youngest child, all now living at Jeremy's house. It was crazy. It was just filled with little children everywhere. But there was just a wonderful feeling in this home as he was sharing this story of all of these moments. I have reflected on this now for a few days. It's emotional to even been a party to watch this unfold, to have the honor of him explaining the miracles that he experienced one after another after another. And what I've reflected on is this. It's the determination. It's that purpose we talked about last Tuesday. He knew his purpose. There wasn't going to be anything that stopped him. He was going to go accomplish that task, whatever it took. And with that level of commitment, absolute 100%, no question asked, everything, you just watch that power that governs abundance. God, show up and continually pour out blessings of such a miraculous nature that one alone would have been a miracle. One, just one of them. And those 7 days were just filled with them to make everything possible to be able to have that conversation in his home on Saturday night. One is there in person to tell us this and all of the details, some of which I won't repeat. Some of them horrific and some of them so deeply spiritual and so sacred. But what a glorious thing to know that when we choose to show up to bless the lives of another person, that doors open. They just open. I know the principles we're teaching you are based on that level. In the darkest of that darkest night, when it didn't seem like anything else was possible, and that commitment to find these principles and teach them, at the end of that 10 years paying off that $1 million, you've read about it, I only share it with you because it was so real. When I got down on my knees and thanked God for something that seemed impossible. There was no way to make income. There was no way to pay it back 10 years earlier. and we watched one door unfold after another, so long as we were doing what I had learned. And God said, what did you learn? That's all I heard him say in my heart. What did you learn, Dave? And I said it, and it just rolls off my tongue even today. You open the doors of opportunity, and I do the work. When I try to open those doors, I frustrate the program. When I try to get you to do the work, I frustrate the program. You open the doors, I do the work. And I have never in my life, that's not true, seldom in my life, had an experience, the one that followed, with such a warm rush over my entire body that spoke the words, lesson learned. I knew that this was an extremely important lesson. How important? I did not know until I've watched what's unfolded in the last decade, where we've been led to believe that if we just visualize with enough intention, somehow things will magically happen. Gabrielle would be dead today had Jeremy not taken action. Door of opportunity opened, he stepped through it. Another door opened, he stepped through it. Another door opened, he stepped through it. Another door opened, he stepped through it. And each time he did all of the work. As a result, we had that occasion last Saturday night at that celebration in his home. I just share this with you as the first thought for the night. We've got quite a bit of noise in the background. If you could just press *6, that would be really helpful to cut out that noise. Somebody's moving around something we want this recording to be as clean as possible. Just press *6 if you would, please. Thank you. Here's the bottom line. If you're in confusion right now, if you've got anything going on and you're wondering, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I want you to pull out a piece of paper before you go to sleep tonight. I want you to write down every single opportunity that is open. You will be surprised how many of them you'll write down. Some of them you go, is that really an opportunity? I mean, this person called me and asked me to check back with them, or this situation or that situation, or I kind of got an idea I should call here, I got a lead for that, or I joined this company, or whatever it might be. Write down those opportunities. And then have this conversation with yourself, because this is what I do every time I get in that space. Since August of 2000, when that last $14,000 check was sent in the mail, and I got on my knees to thank God for being able to find the strength and the energy to get through that process, I write down the list, all the opportunities that are open, and then I have an honesty check. Have I done all the work in that one? Yes or no? Yes. Have I done all the work in that one? No. Have I done all the work in that one? Yes. Have I done all the work in that one? I'm not sure. Have I done all the work in that one? When I get done, I simply say to God, I will finish this work. And every time that has been the focus, and that work has been done, another door has opened. I know that to be a true principle. Can you trust it? Because we keep wanting some power to rescue us, to save us from our misery, when in fact we've been given the opportunity to do the very growth we will want to have and retrospectively appreciate. It's not fun in the moment. But looking back, you will not want to have been robbed of the process of stepping into that opportunity and doing everything that can be done around that opportunity before we start pleading for additional assistance and guidance. This is how things are created. We want to skip to when it's done and reflect on what it'll be like then. The intentional creator focuses on what they want to create, and then comes back to where they are and does the very next millimeter, and then the next. And those millimeters are directly related to the doors of opportunity that are open. Step in, do the work, step in, do the work, another door, another door, another door, another door, and you watch them leading closer and closer, if not to exactly the goal, to something perhaps even better than, something more worthy than, something that grows out of that determination to be that kind of person, to be able to succeed at that kind of a level. That is intentional creation. It is living in the millimeters. It is in the trenches. It is sleeping on the ground. It is living, metaphorically speaking, in our lives with one set of clothing. Jeremy got separated from his clothes, and for an entire week wore the same clothes. Didn't bathe for days. Water wasn't available for that. There was barely enough to drink. He had a sack of beef jerky and granola bars, and that's what he lived on for a week. That's all there was. To watch him hold Gabrielle on his lap and Holly while we were sitting there, having her play with her hair, which she just had put into braids that day, just got her home when we showed up. And to see the love of their determination. They found her 4 years ago, adopted her 2 years ago, and now she's in their home. Undying, intentional creation. Monday morning, I'm over there working out with him. We work out at 6:30 in the morning at his gym. His home's got a magnificent gym. And he just spontaneously, in between sets, looked up at me and said, "Success doesn't just happen, does it, Dave?" "No." "Happiness does not just happen, does it, Dave?" "No." "It's intentionally created." Nothing else needed to be said. It's intentionally created. And then we talked about how this could be taught to people so they would catch the vision of living life at this deep of a level. I was reading something earlier this afternoon by Dr. Hartman, delivered in that same speech I shared last week. He said our lives are like a cone. If you've ever had chipped ice or ice cream cone, just imagine just the cone. And he said the top of it, the horizontal top, is flat. And he said some of us live very one-dimensional, flat lives. We deal with our intentions, our thought processes, and with our senses, and that's about it. But he says if you were to reach up inside that circle and grab the middle of it, pull down on it, you would start to form a cone. And he said, we pull ourselves down. We go into the depths of our inner being. And sometimes we're all the way down there. That's where Jeremy was. Jeremy spent a week in the depths of his inner being. The depths of his soul, the deepest place a person could be, where life is on the line, literally. And every step is determined by inspiration. Very few people even create a little cone. We come down, he says, Dr. Hartman called it a top, and sometimes we just let life spin us out of control. Can we finally get serious about this? Can we finally have our hearts broken enough to feel enough pain to finally get serious about this? So I have a topic for us tonight. And I would like us to look at it very seriously. Because at the core of it is one of the most devastating things to relationships. It is the number one cause of divorce. It's a thought process. Now, Og tells us in preparation for this thought process, in scroll number 6, I am the master of my emotions. He tells it as one of nature's tricks. It's little understood. That each day I awaken moods that have changed from yesterday. You know, we were sad yesterday or happy yesterday, and now we're sad, we're joyful, and now we're frustrated. It's just the way it is. You know, sometimes chemicals are released in our bodies because of a dream we might have experienced, or something we're thinking about when we're going to bed at night, or something that happens when we awaken. Whatever it is, there's chemicals released in our bodies from a thought process. We are feeling something. But he makes it absolutely crystal clear, and it's a true principle. He says, it's like, so what? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? So what? He says, today I will be the master of my emotions, of how I'm feeling. How can I choose how I feel? This is how I feel. And the truth of the matter is, yes, that's how we're feeling, because of a chemical being released in our body from a thought process. And he teaches us a great lesson. He says, and how will I master these emotions so that each day will be productive? Some of us are in situations where we do not have a moment to waste. We will want to live life at that emotional depth, the depth of that cone of our life, as deep as we can go, and sustain it with as much passion as we can find. We do not have a moment to waste. And those of us who think we do may soon learn that we don't. For unless my mood is right, the day will be a failure. And it's a failure because when we slide off into that void of discouragement and frustration, the chemicals that are released in our body and heightened by our intuitive feelings about them and additional releases can destroy an entire day. We don't have a day to waste. Trees and plants depend on the weather to flourish, but I make my own weather. Yea, I transport it with me. If I bring rain and gloom and darkness and pessimism to my customers, then they will react with rain and gloom and darkness and pessimism, and they will purchase not. Now, purchase not is not just buy. It's accept. It's appreciate. It's understand. It's connect. It's everything we want to do with everyone we talk to. Because if our weather condition is not pleasant, a person's mirror neurons are going to pick it up, and they're going to go, whoa, not attractive. Not attracted to that. Not attracted to that. But yet we need to sell something, or we need to connect with someone, or we need to convince someone, or we need to enroll someone. We show up with that. It'll work. He says, if I bring joy and enthusiasm and brightness and laughter to my customers, they will react with joy and enthusiasm and brightness and laughter, and my weather will produce a harvest of sales and a granary of gold for me. Really? Okay. How many of us have been awake in the morning and we just feel crappy and we just really want to feel crappy? And so we walk out into our families and our businesses and our lives, and we are so contagious, that we infect everyone else with that kind of energy. We might want people to feel sorry for us. If we only had a rear view mirror so we could see them stick their finger down their throat when we leave. Oh, we are energy sucks when we're in this space. Just sucking energy from people. It is discouraging. So how do I do this? How do I make this decision? You're kidding me. It's a decision? Don't I take a pill? Well, the pill we swallow is this one. It's wonderful. Bob's a little tough on us at first. He says, weak is he who permits his thoughts to control his actions. Well, it's easy for you to say, Og. You are the master of all of this. But then he says, strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts. And so we ponder for a moment. We know physiologically, they did not know this in 1968. Candace Pert was just beginning her work on the molecules of emotion, her famous book, at the National Institute for Health. That a thought releases a chemical attaches to a cell in the body, communicates a message, and physically we feel a certain way. It's not just in our head, we actually feel it. To reverse that, we have two options. One, we change the thought that creates the chemical and release a different one. In the next scroll, he gives us the very best solution, the very best pill to swallow, which is laughter. Something magical happens when we laugh. I don't feel like laughing. Well, that's pretty funny. We find a way to laugh. We bring our funny bone back into our lives, and when we laugh, it has a way of cleansing. It's a catharsis. It cleanses the fear dendrites and the cortisol from our body. And when it's gone, we feel better. We feel better because our body now is restored. We're whole. Our amygdala is functioning properly, our fight or flight center, our prefrontal cortex, these higher levels of consciousness are functioning better. Our empathy's back plugged in. Our practical judgment's plugged back in. We see the world differently until we have another awful thought, awful chemicals, awful feeling. So we can literally change the way we feel by changing the way we are thinking. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That is a choice. We want to be mopey, and we want to be sad, and we want to sometimes be the victim, and nobody understands what I'm going through. That could be true. But as Lon Wardrop said to his friend, whose husband had just committed suicide, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Are we in this world to suck energy out of everyone? Or are we in it to bring life to them? Because the one who steps out of their stuff and changes the thought process brings an energy with them that lowers walls, it impacts cooperation and productivity, attracts people to them who can serve them and who they can serve. Now, truth may be, I know I've experienced this, maybe you have too, where changing a thought is really hard to do when you're in this space that's so dark. So Og says, okay, each day when I awake, I will follow this plan of battle. It's a battle. Before I am captured by the forces of sadness, self-pity, and failure, those are the forces of sadness. And he gives us some just practical ideas. If I feel depressed, I will sing. If I feel sad, I will laugh. If I feel ill, I will double my labor. If I feel fear, I will plunge ahead. If I feel inferior, I will wear new garments. If I feel uncertain, I will raise my voice. And on he goes. Go buy a new pair of shoes if you need to. Do something, some action that shakes you out of the current space you're in. When we're in this space, we destroy relationships. When we need to be right about what got us there, we destroy relationships. When we show up to lift and build, and we say, well, when is it my turn? It's our turn as it's being done, because people are attracted to us. The very desires of our heart are realized when we make this decision. We show up differently, and just as infectious as an awful mood is, a good one is too. And we show up in this positive space, loving people, having the best day of our lives. Eileen's on the phone. She's going to have fun this week, Eileen. People say, what do you do? What are you going to say, Eileen? Are you on the phone? I heard your voice. Come off of mute and tell us what you're going to tell people. Are you with us? Is anybody out there? I haven't disconnected.
I'm here. Can you hear me, Dave?
I can hear you. There you are.
Well, okay, Eileen, yeah.
You show up in this space so happy and so excited, and somebody says, what do you do? What are you going to say?
Say, I bless people's lives. What do you do?
What do you mean you bless lives? What does that mean?
Well, I help people feel and look younger, and doesn't that sound like fun? Now tell me more about what you do.
Yeah, she's going to spend her week. I bless people's lives. What? I help people feel younger and look younger. Doesn't that sound fun? What do you do? She's not going to say a word about her business for a week. And she's going to have more people asking her about her business than she could sell in the last week. It is so exciting to watch her smile. Doesn't her smile sound great? Wouldn't you want to know more about this woman and what she does? We all are trying to sell, but we're forgetting to show up in this space with this weather condition. Now, to have some fun with this, I've coached some of you on this, and some of you just have some fun with this. Go get a piece of paper in your computer. Go to your computer and go landscape. Make the paper landscape. And write on the question, what is my weather condition? Big type font, type point size, like 35 or 40 or something. What is my weather condition? Then go to clip art and get a whole bunch of really challenging weather conditions, like a lightning bolt or a tornado or something, rainstorm, dark clouds. Put them all over the paper. And this week when you wake up, put it somewhere where you see it, like the mirror when you first come in the bathroom or the door as you're walking out of the house. What is my weather condition? Am I a tornado today? Am I a hurricane? Am I a high-pressure system? Am I a drizzling cold rainstorm? Am I a ray of sunshine? Make sure you put one of those on your chart. Which one are you? It's your choice. You get to choose. Pick the choice. I hope you pick sunshine. Go and be sunshine all day. And then have some fun observing people. And watch how people show up. And just watch them. Be the observer for the day of people's moods. We have Eileen on the phone. Now, Eileen's a nurse. I told Eileen, we're kind of laughing today, that if you want to slit your wrists, go listen to two nurses talking about their husbands and the doctors they work for. Don't be offended if you're a nurse. It's not to be a negative. It's a very depressing field of work, taking care of sick people all day long. Wouldn't it be fun if Eileen shows up in that space happy and excited? She chooses to be sunshine in the middle of a high-pressure system and woe is me, which can be in almost any workplace. Observe people. Not only observe their weather condition, but observe what they're trying to get as a result. Pity, attention, assistance. You've always heard you catch more flies with what? Honey.
Honey.
Yes. And you watch the difference between someone who walks in who's happy and joyful and having the best day of their life. And make the decision this week, everyone on the phone. This week, make the conscious decision when you awake, and it might take several times during the course of the day, what's my weather condition? Pick sunshine. And have the very best day of your life. And see what kind of a miracle you can create in the next week. Now,
hey Dave.
One more time. Yes.
Dave, this is
yes.
Bill Rauer.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good. How'd it go last night?
Very well.
Oh,
very well.
Bill's one of our coaches in training. Just finished the assessment training up at the cabin weekend before last. Go ahead, Bill.
I weather systems of the day are something that I've always worked on for myself. And one of the tools that I found is effective, because sometimes it's hard to maintain that weather all day long at the beginning until you get good at it. And so one of the things I like to practice is when I approach somebody who's a customer service representative, could be a checker at the grocery store or a convenience store or one of those things, I check myself as I approach, and sometimes those people have a pretty tough time because they hear about all the high prices and all of those kind of things. And I always put on my best smile and greet them and give them as much sunshine as I can. And typically, I have a pretty good experience at checkout, but it's a way to practice entering someone else's space with the best possible weather. Does it take a very long period of time? You can snap into it pretty quickly. If you do snap into it, hang on to it. It might last all day. But it's a trigger for me.
Well, Bill, if you'll remember, when we got done with our 4 days together, I made a comment to you about this, because I can tell everybody on the phone he actually practices this. Because in 4 days, and there's plenty of time in 4 days to break down, I never saw you other than in this space.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And it was delightful. I told you I just loved your energy. It is attractive. And people love to be around and work with people who are in this space.
Well, I really appreciate your career, comment.
You're welcome. Now, you've been in a career where you've seen people that are other than this. Because you were in...
Yeah, in including me.
For Albertsons, yeah, including you. So you know what it's like to be around people, even yourself at one point, where it wasn't like this. And we always talk about the law of attraction. And I really, don't misunderstand this, Bill, but I was attracted to you. I enjoyed conversation because there was both a sunshine being brought, and I did a study for about an hour this afternoon, just reading, and I was writing down words that were in this document about the difference between fear and faith, between someone, Bill, who showed up the way you did at the cabin. And I want to write, I want to say these words so you can hear them and everybody else listen, because wouldn't this be the way we would want to show up? Humble. Now, Bill's a very knowledgeable guy. He happens to be a trivia nut. You pick a topic and he can carry on a conversation, but he never throws it at you to impress you. That's very interesting. Humility. Serenity. Cooperation. Expansive, humane, magnanimous, just a big heart, generous, unpretentious, bold, courageous, equanimity, which means peace of mind, forgiving, common sense. Aren't those great words? Now listen to these words. When someone's in that other space, defiant, spiteful, superior, prideful, aggressive, combative, defensive, I can't even read my own writing. I'll go to the next one. Restrictive, cynical, sanctimonious, greedy, vain, easily hurt. That's an interesting one. Really touchy. Get their feelings hurt. Cowardly. Thin-skinned. Resentful. Vengeant. Complicated. It's one of my favorite scenes from Count of Monte Cristo. It's complicated. Can you feel the difference between those? Between someone's in one of those bad weather conditions and someone who is at peace, who's feeling sunshine, who is conscious about the impact they will have on others and cares enough about them to shift how they're feeling to bless the lives of those with whom they will come in contact. That's really awesome. So thank you, Bill, for that idea. So as we're approaching someone, just do a quick check. What's my weather? Consciously? It's not faking, by the way. This isn't acting. This is consciously making the choice to positively impact another person. What it is unselfish. That's what it is. It's truly unselfish. It is being able to focus on another person and seeing what they might need and showing up for them. How fun. So let's have an experience with this week. Let's come back next week, and the very first thing we want to do on our Tuesday call is I'm going to say, how was it being sunshine all week? What happened? And if you'll just share a few moments that you've had, if you've consciously done it, you'll be excited to share what you created, because you'll know that it's something different than you may have been creating, especially in relationships. I have a grave concern, just a grave concern. When someone's in a relationship and they're not showing up, they're waiting for the other person to show up, or both of them are in this battle. For anybody who's in a relationship, whether it's just dating or committed or married, whatever it might be, let's also make this a week where we show up for the other person in this weather condition. Perhaps we make the bed, guys. Perhaps we take out the trash cans. Perhaps we do all those things for which we get lots of points that we may not think we get points for. What could we do differently this week to be a ray of sunshine? Ladies, what could you do in your relationships to show up a ray of sunshine? Even if you don't feel like it. Even if you don't feel like it, can you care enough about another person, a child, a spouse, a friend? Or do we want to moan and complain about how hard life is? Because when we do, those thoughts will create releases of chemicals in our bodies that will attach to the receptors on the cells of our bodies, and we will actually feel that way. And we will get exhausted because cortisol wears out the cells of the body. We'll actually be more tired than we actually need to be. There is something energizing about being sunshine. About being sunshine. Now, when we're sunshine, we don't need to be right. We don't need to fix. We don't need to criticize. We don't need to find fault. We are looking for the good. We're looking for what's important to others, and we're verbalizing it. We're listening for doors and stepping into worlds. Sound familiar? We're taking down walls and connecting with people. Let us make this a week of sunshine. This world today needs some sunshine. Now, someone might say, well, Dave, you don't understand where I am. I may not. But what I do know is it's not going to change as long as you stay in the rain. It's a conscious decision. I can promise you the universe will show up for you when you're in this space. So be determined. Live life with this level of intention. Find some humor this week. Laugh a little bit. Lighten up a little bit. Regardless of the circumstances. Now, I make the caveat that if you're in an abusive relationship, that may not apply. You want to get some assistance from a professional. I'm not suggesting anyone be in that kind of a situation and give in to it. That's not what we're suggesting. But short of that, let us find sunshine this week. Now, that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. We have about 10 minutes left in our call. Is there anyone else? Thank you, Bill, for sharing. And thank you, Eileen, for giving us your mission this week. That was wonderful. Is there anyone else who would like to share in the few minutes that we have remaining? This time for you.
Dave, it's Mike.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Did I get my phone call?
No, I didn't. I might have been on the phone with another person.
I called about 5:18. We can talk right after this for a few minutes about that one client that you want.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. I just wanted to add, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Just a couple of things. Number one, you had me crying here on the phone. I don't normally cry on the phone, but your story about the folks in Haiti was just fantastic. And you're absolutely right. Miracles do happen around us if we're willing to ask for them. And I was just really kind of struck by that. Thank you for sharing it. It really lets us know, all of us know, that miracles can happen. We have to ask. We have to have the power sessions. We have to sit down and say, who can I serve today? And then we have to jump in. But just a comment or two about the sunshine and a couple of things that I found helpful in my life, at least from the scrolls that we've been studying, are two. One coming, I'll live this day as if it is my last. And toward that end, Og says, and if it is my last, it will be my greatest moment. This day I'll make the best day of my life. This day I will drink every minute to its full. I'll savor its taste. I'll give thanks. I'll make every hour count and every minute. I'll trade only for something of value. I'll labor harder than ever before and push my muscles until they cry for relief. And then the second part, if you couple that with I'll greet this day with love in my heart, one of his statements was, henceforth I'll love all mankind. From this moment all hate is let from my veins, and I have not time to hate, only time to love. From this moment I take the first step required to become a man among men. With love I will increase my sales 100-fold and become a great salesman. To me, salesman means whatever your season in life is, whether it's sales, whether it's any other profession, any other task, any of your territory. So I just wanted to add those two because I think they had a profound effect on me, and certainly with the individuals that I've been speaking with for the last 2 weeks, it has really stepped up and has been a pleasure to work with them.
Thank you, Mike. You want to know the rest of the story? I almost forgot to share it with everyone. When Jeremy got done telling me his story, he said, Dave, do you know what sustained me through each day? And I thought he would say, prayer. Of course, prayer was a critical part of his day. Every moment was prayerful. But he said, I took the scrolls with me. I want you to picture me at that koresh, getting my daughter out and reading, I will persist until I succeed. That opening line, in the Orient, young bulls are tested for the fight arena in a certain manner. They brought to the ring and allowed to attack a picador who pricks them with a lance, and the bravery of each bull is then rated with care according to the number of times he demonstrates his willingness to charge in spite of the sting of the blade. Henceforth, I will recognize that each day I am tested by life in like manner. I will persist. I'll continue to try. I'll continue to charge forward. Those are the words that he just lived on. I will act now. And as you said, every minute I will live to its fullest. Oh, my goodness, what a way to live. Yep, and thanks for sharing that, Mike. And reminding me of that reference that he made. How many of us are finding solace in these words every morning and every noon and every night? I can tell you that's the way this office starts every morning. Every morning. Oh, let us not say I don't have time for those very things that can create the energy in us to be the sunshine. Yeah, thanks for sharing, Mike. It's awesome. It's fun to have these new coaches on the phone. I say new coaches. These aren't new coaches. These are just people newly coaching Augs material. We had a phone call yesterday afternoon with all of them on the phone, sharing some of their experiences. And I think they would all agree with me that all the comments were powerful. Therese shared one with us all that just made us all cry, got our hearts in our throats. Person's assessment that was really challenging. This is a new coach, relatively new to debriefing. And she shared with us, just want you to hear what these coaches do. She said, I prayed for 10 minutes before I called her. I just wanted to be fully present because I knew she was really hurting. And she explained to us how she called and stepped into this person's world and just showed up for her. And she shared with her what it was, and they could see in the assessment how it was showing up. All the work we do as coaches is just precious. She was hanging on a word for a minute, and those who are on the call will remember. She said it was, and then she finally said, an honor. Just an honor. Well, all of you are in different phases of this journey. You've taken your assessments. Some of you have some of the tools. Some of you are coaching with us one-on-one. Some of you will have the privilege when you choose to coach with some of the coaches that are on this phone. The Bill Rowers and Mike Johnstones and Marcy and Therese and Delph. And I'm afraid I'm going to miss somebody and get shot. But all these wonderful people that are right now in training, you'll have that opportunity if you're interested. And right now, some of those coaches, where we're helping them take on clients at a greatly reduced fee, so they can have some experience. But you're dealing with people with seasoning that have got a lot of business experience, a lot of life experience, who now understand how to debrief this assessment and are ready to start sharing these principles with you. So if there's anybody on the phone that would like to coach that has not done so because of price, because of the fees, would you call the office tomorrow and let us know? And let us line you up with one of these magnificent human beings and let you spend some time going through these principles on a one-on-one basis and see if we can do it in an affordable manner, something that you can afford based on your current financial situation. Don't let finances keep you from working on you if you're having challenges. Because I would have confidence putting you in the hands of any one of these people who were at this training this 2 weekends ago. Just magnificent human beings. So, if anybody would like to, just let us know tomorrow. Call the office, and I'll give you the phone number, so you've got it. Write it down. 801-294-7694. And we'll help you get an experience for a price that you can afford, so that you don't miss out on this opportunity. Well, thanks everybody for being with us tonight. Let us be sunshine this week. Let us check
thanks,
in
Dave.
And take this on. Is there anyone who would like to say anything before we close? Well, thank you all for being here tonight. Have a glorious week. Live your life to the full. So good night, everyone.
Good night, Dave. Thank you.
Good night.